We have such good talent in this church. It's phenomenal. And you know what? I've been around a number of churches, and as pastor, but also in the responsibilities I have now in the fellowship. By the way, my name is Todd. Today, I should probably start with that if I've never met you or you've never met me. Today, I have the privilege of bringing God's Word and chewing on it a bit with you here and some of His truths. During the week, I have the privilege of meeting with pastors and churches, and I work for our fellowship, which this church is one of just under 100 in BC and Yukon. And soon, actually, we have 96 in BC and one in the Yukon, in Whitehorse. But soon there will be two, because they're planting a church. For the first time in many decades, Whitehorse is going to have another church plant. And it's actually focused on the local community, but with a First Nations bent. And this is phenomenal. Like, we don't do this well enough. And God has called a young man named Harrison and his wife, Caitlin, and their two little kids to reach out. Harrison works alongside many First Nations in his job, and he's going to step out of his job working with kids, and he's going to plant a church. And I asked him why, and he said it's because God has allowed me to grow up with many of my friends in school, having that culture, that background, and sadly, many of them took their own lives. And he says, you know what, there's more to life than this, and I need to let them know that. And so pray for them. They actually kick off next Sunday in a soft launch, and then as they get their core team ready, and a hard launch come September. So God's got some amazing things to happen in Whitehorse. You're going to hear more stories on that. But today, we get to hear the presence of God here. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, gracious God, thank you for your presence. Thank you that you say you are here. You've been walking with us all morning, all day, for every moment of our lives. And I think we often take that for granted, but Lord, we also forget about it until you break into our world and you say there's something more to life than what we see and what we hear. And so, Lord, break into our lives this morning. Teach us, lead us. You have challenges for us. You know where you want us to be. You know what you want us to feel. You know what you want us to understand. You know the truths that are for us that explain life and the purpose behind life and the purpose for our lives. And we need desperately to hear that today. And so, Lord, as you do that, we also pray that you would encourage us, because that's what you say you do. When we have encouragement and they meet us up to those challenges, we get hope. And hope is what we all need today. And you know what that looks like. So we ask that you would bring it. And Father, hope honestly is what our world needs, and you know that. And that's why, Jesus, you died, and we get to celebrate your death and resurrection over this season. In your wonderful, precious, beautiful name, we pray. In the name where it gives life where there was no life. Amen. That's the title for today. You can see it on the screen. And we're going to read a passage in John chapter 18, and it's going to be a little bit of a lengthy passage today, but it's more of a narrative, so you can actually sit back and relax. If you have a coffee, great. If you don't, here's 30 seconds for you to get one and come back. You can if you want. Go ahead, David. I got to keep it a little alive because I know some of those who are gone for the last week and busy serving the Lord. Thank you guys, by the way, for leading us in that. And what David should be, he's out there, I don't know if he can hear me, but when he comes in, what a servant does is actually he gets a coffee for somebody else. So he should give it to one of you when he comes back in. That'll be the test. Anyways, if he doesn't, just pray for him. That's a good thing. Oh, my goodness, we like to tease and go on about those kinds of things. Who's your hero? You wake up this morning thinking, who's my hero? What is a hero? What does a hero do? Do you recognize this face? If you know a bit of culture and movies, you'll recognize this face. What's his name? Anybody know his name? Thank you. And what's his phrase? What's his main line? You know, he says many phrases, but it is, my name is, yeah, prepare to die. See, some of you know this movie. If you haven't seen the Princess Bride movie, okay, gotta see it. Gotta see it. Now, one of his main arch enemy, anybody know his main arch enemy? Who's the evil guy? Oh, he had six fingers. And that's why he's my hero. But You know what? His arch enemy was what? His name was Prince Humperdinck. Yeah. So they went at each other. Anyway, so I put this guy up because he's my hero. And I'll tell you why he's my hero as we're trying to figure out, this is what we're going to talk about today, why Jesus is your hero or our hero. Or maybe he isn't your hero, but why he should be our hero. And just think about it. This guy had six fingers. Now, think. He didn't? I thought, are you sure? It was his bad guy that had six fingers. Oh, thank you. I thought he did. But think about what you can do. So Prince Humperdinck had six fingers. Who had six fingers? The man that killed his father had six fingers. I'm glad you guys know the story. Now think about it for a second. So the man, even though he was an evil man and killed his father, he's my hero. We'll go with that one. Because he had six fingers. What could you do with six fingers? Think about this for a second. You could count to 12. I didn't even thought of that one. What could you do? You know what? You could hold more food. You could hold a bigger coffee cup. You know, what could you do? You could, you know what? If you're hot, you could like extra finger, bigger wave, bigger, more fan. Think about all you could do with six fingers. You could actually join the circus, and if you had joined the circus, you'd be famous today because you could have probably been a character or an actor in the movie The Greatest Showman. Think about it. All the things you could do with six fingers. You could give better massages. Endless... Who's your hero? Who's your hero? Is Jesus your hero? We're going into a season where we talk about Jesus. In fact, the entire focus of what we're going to be talking about, and actually every Sunday, should be Jesus Christ. The Bible calls him our hero. God the Father calls him our hero. Maybe some of us here today call him our hero. Is he our hero? I'm not going to put the passage up on the screen. But if you have it in your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 18. And I read about a chapter and a half, so it's going to fly fast. And now that we have a coffee, at least one coffee, and if anybody needs it, David will gladly give it to you or share it. Anyways, I'm kidding, David. Chapter 18, verse 1 says this. After saying these things, and by the way, this is Jesus. He's just finished his prayer of unity, which we talked about last Sunday. And actually, it's right around the time of the Garden in Gethsemane, which some of the other gospel passages, other stories about him talk about. We don't see that in John, but some of the others do. And so he's had his wrestling with his father. And his father said, okay, now it's time to get on with the show. And Jesus says, yep, I got it, let's go. And this is what happens. After saying these things, Jesus crossed the Kidron Valley with his disciples and entered into a grove of olive trees. Judas the betrayer knew his place because Jesus had often gone there with his disciples. The leading priests and Pharisees had given Judas a contingent of Roman soldiers and temple guards to accompany him. Now with blazing torches, lanterns, and weapons, they all arrived at the olive grove. And you can actually, if you want, you can close your eyes for a minute and just picture what's happening here. Jesus fully realized all that was going to happen to him, so he stepped forward to meet them. Who are you looking for? He asked. Jesus the Nazarene, they replied. I am he. Jesus said. Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. As Jesus said, I am he, they all drew back and fell to the ground. Once more, he asked them, who are you looking for? And again, they replied, Jesus the Nazarene, because they didn't get it the first time, apparently. I told you that I am he, Jesus said. And since I'm the one you want, let the others go. Let his disciples go. He did this to fulfill his own statement, I did not lose a single one of those you have given me. Then Simon Peter drew a sword and slashed off the right ear of Malchus, the high priest's slave. But Jesus said to Peter, put your sword back into its sheath. Shall I not drink from the cup of suffering the Father has given me? And in other passages, Jesus actually heals the man's ear. That would have been just unbelievable to watch. Verse 12. So the soldiers, their commanding officer and the temple guards arrested Jesus and tied him up. First, they took him to Annas, since he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest, at that time. Caiaphas was the one who had told the other Jewish leaders, it's better that one man should die for all the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, as did another of the disciples. The other disciple was acquainted with the high priest, so he was allowed to enter the priest's courtyard with Jesus. Peter had to stay outside the gate. Then the disciple who knew the high priest spoke to the woman watching the gate and let Peter in. The woman said to Peter, "You're not one of that man's disciples, are you?" No, I'm not. Because it was cold, the household servants and the guards had made a charcoal fire. They stood around it, warming themselves. And Peter stood with him, warming himself. Inside, the high priest began asking Jesus about his followers and what he'd been teaching them. And Jesus replied, "Everyone knows what I teach. I have preached regularly in the synagogues and the temple where the people gather. I have not spoken in secret. Why are you asking me this question? Ask those who heard me. They know what I said." Then one of the temple guards standing nearby slapped Jesus across the face. "Is that the way to answer the high priest?" he demanded. Jesus replied, "If I said anything wrong, you must prove it. But if I'm speaking the truth, why are you beating me?" Then Annas bound Jesus and sent him to Caiaphas, the high priest. Verse 25. Meanwhile, as Simon Peter was standing by the fire warming himself, they asked him again, "You're not one of the disciples, are you?" He denied it, saying, No, I'm not." But one of the household slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Didn't I see you out there in the olive grove with Jesus?" Again, Peter denied it, and immediately the rooster crowed. Verse 28. Jesus' trial before Caiaphas ended in the early hours of the morning. He was taken to the headquarters of the Roman governor. His accusers didn't go inside because it would defile them, and they wouldn't be allowed to celebrate the Passover. So Pilate, the governor, went out to ask them, What is your charge against this man? "We wouldn't have handed him over to you if he weren't a criminal," they retorted. "Then they take him away and judge him by your own law," Pilate told him. "Only the Romans are permitted to execute someone," the Jewish leaders replied. This fulfilled Jesus' prediction about the way he would die. Then Pilate went back into his headquarters and called for Jesus to be brought to him. "Are you the king of the Jews?" he asked him. Jesus replied, "Is this your own question, or did others tell you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate retorted. "Your own people and their leading priests brought you to me for the trial. Why? What is it you've done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world." Pilate said, "So you're a king?" You say I am a king. Actually, I was born and came into this world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true." "Well, what's truth?" Pilate asked. Then he went out again to the people and told them, "He's not guilty of any crime. But you have a custom of asking me to release one prisoner each year at Passover. Would you like me to release this king of the Jews?" But they shouted back, "No, not this man. We want Barabbas." Barabbas was a revolutionary. Chapter 19. Then Pilate had Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip. The soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put a purple robe on him and said this, "Hail, King of the Jews." They mocked him and slapped him across his face. Pilate went outside again and said to the people, "I am going to bring him out to you now, but understand clearly that I find him not guilty." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said, "Look, here is the man." When they saw him, the leading priests and the temple guards began shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Tell him yourselves and crucify. Take him yourself and crucify him," Pilate said. "I find him what? Not guilty." The Jewish leaders replied, "But by our law, he ought to die because he has called himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was more frightened than ever. He took Jesus back into the headquarters again and asked him, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave no answer. "Why don't you talk to me?" Pilate demanded. "Don't you realize that I have the power to release you or to crucify you?" And then Jesus said, "You would have no power over me at all unless it weren't given to you from above. So the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin." And then Pilate tried to release him, but the Jewish leader shouted, "If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar's. Anyone who declares himself a king is a rebel against Caesar." When they said this, Pilate brought Jesus out to them again.
Then Pilate sat down on the judgment seat at the platform that is called the stone pavement. It was now about noon on the day of preparation for the Passover. And Pilate said to the people, "Look, here is your king." "Away with him," they yelled. "Away with him, crucify him." "What? Crucify your king? We have no king but Caesar. Jesus is not the hero of our story," is what they're saying. Then Pilate turned Jesus over to them to be crucified. Whew, that's a lot. On Friday, we'll pick up the story, we'll pick up the true story of Christ going to the cross and on the cross. Jesus is the hero. So what makes up a hero? A hero is someone who finishes. By the way, as we go through and look at some of the things that describe the character of Jesus, that's us too, right? We're called to follow Jesus in the manner of Jesus. We're called to live him out. So some of this reflects to us too. So are you a finisher? It says here that heroes finish. It says here that Jesus was ready to drink the cup. But Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into the sheath. Shall I not drink from the cup of suffering the Father has given me?" Jesus had wrestled with this cup in the garden. And if you recall that part of the story, even so much so that he was sweating, they said, drops of blood. It pained him so much because he knew what he was about to go and do. This is what we get to discover. This is what, over the next week and a bit, we talk about in depth. And he didn't want to face it. But in the garden, his Father and him had conversations. And he said, "You know what? We need to do this." And so off he went. He's wrestling. But now you see, he's not wrestling. It's time to move on. It's time to finish the story. It's go time. Jesus was ready to do what God the Father had asked of him. He was ready to die for the sins of the world. He was ready to die for my sins. In other words, the things that I do, the rebellious nature that I do against God and everything that he has laid out. And all the disease and everything and the consequences and everything that's wrapped up in that. My sin and our sin. He says, it's time to deal with this. It's time to give a new opportunity, a new day. This is the cup. And nothing was going to stop Jesus from finishing. You know what amazes me? Jesus even started the conversation. Did you notice that? I kind of emphasized that when we were reading it. Like, okay, he meets the soldiers, and they're kind of like, okay, where's this Jesus guy? Like, I'm here. Like, guys, come here. Who are you looking for? And what does he say? I'm the guy you're looking for. And he has to say it twice. Jesus was ready to take on the sin of the world. He actually looked forward to it in some sort of twisted way for us, maybe. He wanted to tackle it. Even so, he says, Peter gets out. He goes, "I'm going to fight for you. There's no way, Jesus, you're gone," right? We might do this. It's honorable. And so he goes for a swing, and I'm thinking, and what I've read is that he actually missed the guy, and he caught his ear. Like, he's bad. And what does Jesus say? "No, wait, Peter, that's not how this is going to work. This is my job. This is my responsibility. I need to finish it. Put your sword away." How grateful are we that Jesus finished? How grateful are we for a place called heaven for when we die? We have an eternity place, secure. We understand. We know that. How grateful are we for his saving grace to help us in our times of need on this earth? Our office is in Fort Langley, and coming out of Fort Langley, I often go to Vancouver, and you can go, I usually Walnut Grove, and you kind of go around, hit the highway, and off you go. But they created, in the middle, on 203rd Street, they created a little on-ramp that's kind of tucked underneath the highway. So if you're familiar with Langley, you know where this is. And you can go up and you can come down it. And I think they created it because there's a big bus depot there, and so it can do the loop and off you go. And I've taken it several times because it's a lot quicker. And I like to win. I like to be ahead of people. And so I take it. Maybe you do too. Anyway, so I took it like this past week or 2 weeks ago. And as I came around the little roundabout, there was a police officer just waiting right there, and he pulled me over. I'm like, what? Why are you motioning me over? What's the deal? And he came up to me. I rolled down my window. He said, I see you only have one person in the car. Yeah? And then I looked up, and it's an HOV lane. I've always taken this. Like, the HOV lane's maybe, 300 meters, and then you hop on and off you go. Didn't even think of it. Anyway, so as I'm, I don't know how many times you guys have been pulled over, but as I'm looking over, he says, get your license and registration. So I'm going to reach down to get it. And as I'm getting it, the officer is waiting by my window. And all of a sudden, I hear a noise that's coming because we're about 100 meters from the roundabout. And so I hear a car coming. And the car is probably from here to our doors there. And he's already doing 60, 70 by the time he gets to us. He's flying. Or it could be she. We won't go into that one. But already, and so I'm reaching for my papers. The officer's here. I hear this car, and as the car's just passing, I hear the officer turn because he hears them, and there's not a whole lot of room, and he yells for the car to stop. And so as that's happening, again, I'm in the middle of my papers. I just pull out my papers, and then I look, and the officer's gone. And I'm like, whoa, what do I do now? Yeah, I know what some of you are thinking. Hey, yeah. So what he had done was, in like 3 seconds, he saw that guy, he yelled at him, jumped into his car, and took off. And I could see him about 200 meters up ahead, and he had pulled him over. And so I'm in my car thinking, okay, I did something bad. What do I do? Do I go up? Do I wait for the officer to come back? What would you do? Now, probably most of you, did a little happy dance, like, oh, I'll get it. So I slowly pulled up behind him, and as I was pulling up behind him, he saw me, and because he was in his car, and he did this. That means go onto the highway, and off you go. Oh, that, you know the guy that got the ticket? He's my hero. The officer was doing his job. He finished what he starts. He was there to finish what he started. And in fact, he was working so hard on mine that he when something else happened that was worse than my infraction, off he went. He wanted to make sure that he finished his job. Do you finish your jobs? Jesus doesn't just finish. He takes it a step further. He finishes it alone. Do you notice that? I was saying, what's the difference between what Jesus does and what we do? Jesus finished his job alone. There was no help for Jesus. He actually says here in verse 8 to the soldiers, take me, I'm the guy you want, let my disciples go. What's he saying? Guys, you're not a part of this fight. Go home. Be safe. Peter, put that sword back in. Why? Because that isn't the fight. You're going to die doing that. This is not your fight. This is my fight. I need to finish this. Let these men go. He was to drink his cup alone. And eventually on the cross, even God the Father would remove himself from the presence of Jesus. And this is what comes to our heart. If you wonder what it was like for Jesus on the cross, think of it this way. When he was on the cross and it says that God removed himself, the Father, from Jesus. He faced all our sins alone. So I was trying to think, how do you know this? Like, what does this mean? Think of it this way simply. Everything good we have in this world is because of God and the presence of God. Every blessing we have is the presence of God. All the strength, all the wisdom, when we're in need and we ask God and he gives it, that's the blessing of God. Now, remove all of that. That's what Jesus had on the cross. And he didn't just not have that strength, and he didn't have a song in his heart because of what Jesus can do, and he didn't have the wisdom. He didn't have any of that. He actually had all the rebellion and all the other stuff on top of him while he was on the cross. Who deserves to be the hero of our story? We better keep going. Number two, heroes serve a greater purpose, not themselves. Heroes serve a greater purpose, not themselves. It's interesting here. We have Peter. What's he fighting for? What's his cause? Is it Jesus? Well, it kind of sort of started that way, right? But it wasn't. It was about a kingdom on earth and the way he thought it should be about. So he pulls out his sword. And later on, he denies Jesus how many times? 3 times. It's about him. Look at the other characters we have here. We have Judas. What did he want out of the deal? He was one of the 12 disciples. He followed Jesus. He heard every story from Jesus. He experienced the love and miracles of Jesus. And what is it that he wanted? He wanted money. He gave Jesus over for money. What about the Sadducees? This is going to be just lame, but this is help us remember it. They are sad, you see. I know that's a lame thing, but sometimes that works well for us to remember. You know why they're sad, you see? Because in verse 15 it says, we have no king but Caesar. They were followers of the law. They said they loved God. And when it came down to it, they say this, we have no king. In other words, not even God is our king anymore. Why? Because they wanted their way and they wanted Jesus dead. They denied God. We have Pilate. He wanted to appease the crowd in Rome. We have the Jewish crowd. They chose Barabbas over Jesus. They chose a known criminal and felon and murderer over an innocent man. It makes no sense. But it does when what? When we're the hero of our story. Jesus offered himself as a spiritual Messiah. Barabbas offered himself as a political military Messiah. Jesus offered deliverance through salvation, life over death. The other offered deliverance through revolution, the here and the now. Jesus proposed to save men and women by the shedding of his own blood. Barabbas proposed the same, but through the shedding of their blood. Jesus doesn't just serve, he takes it one step further. Why is he our hero? Because Jesus serves those who only, often, repeatedly serve ourselves. Jesus serves those who often serve themselves. How many of us would stop serving people because they're selfish? Yeah! You don't have to put up your hand, but Jesus does not. He went to the cross for the selfish. He went to the cross for the enemies. He went to the cross for those who had no idea what they were doing. He went to the cross for those who knew exactly what they're doing and they kept on doing it. He went to the cross for us in our world. 1 John 4:10 says this. Maybe I have it up there. Oh, I don't. There's your next point. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Do you want Jesus to be the hero of your story? Does he deserve to be the hero of our story? Third one is this, heroes have authority. Heroes have authority. Heroes have the power and authority and know how to use it. So I was trying to think of an example of what this might look like, and I can only, there's probably many, but I was thinking like a herbivore. Do you know what a herbivore is? A herbivore is, some of them, can be huge. An elephant is a herbivore. Some dinosaurs are herbivores. And herbivores, they have such great power, but what do? They eat plants. If you're big and huge, why would you want to eat plants? You want to go, like, eat meat. Like, you want to have, like, a rotisserie spit of something really large and just enjoy it. Now, it apparently, elephants, an adult elephant eats 300 pounds of plants a day. Now, that's a lot. So there is that part. But they have the power and they have the ability and authority, but they don't use it in ways that are not helpful. You know, it's interesting here. Disciples would have fought for Jesus, but what did Jesus say? No. No, don't. Many others in this narrative thought that they could be in charge of what would happen to Jesus. But what happens? They're not. Even Pilate here tried to set Jesus free. You know how many times? Three. 3 times he goes, this guy's innocent. Let him go. And what does Jesus answer? No, no, I can't go. And sometimes he even just stops talking. You know, it's interesting. Pilate says here he even had the power to give life and death on earth, right? He was in charge of putting him to the cross or not. And Jesus says, no, no, actually you don't have that power. And there's a pretty cool verse, and it's this in chapter 10 of John. It says this. No, this is Jesus speaking. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also to take it up again. Jesus had all authority to do anything he wanted. But what did he do? What did he do? He went to the cross for you and me. Think about that. He could do anything he wanted. Jesus doesn't just have authority. He takes it a step further. Jesus uses this authority to put himself on the cross for us. Do you want Jesus to be the hero of your story? How about this last one? Heroes have integrity. You have the verses there. I don't know if I put it on the screen. I think I did. Jesus said, if I said anything wrong, you must prove it. But if I'm speaking the truth, why are you beating me? Jesus held nothing back from Annas. This is the passage, verse 20, 21 to 23. Jesus told him the truth. Jesus lived the truth. Jesus stuck to the truth. He finished and started with the truth. Jesus doesn't just serve, he takes it a step further. Jesus holds to the truth even though it cost him a lot of pain and even his very life. He stuck with the truth. Heroes stick with the truth. Live out the truth. Do we want Jesus to be the hero of our story? Anybody recognize this? I'll finish with this. This guy's name is Arnaud Beltram. Not really good at pronouncing French names, but he's French. He's from southern France. He's 45 years old. This past Friday, he got up like he did every morning, was getting ready for work. He had his breakfast. After his breakfast, he called his fiancée. Said, hey, honey, how you doing? Well, he said it in French. My French isn't that good, but I'll just translate it into English. And probably said some lovey things because that's what French people do, right? It's a love language. Not always. And he said, you know what, honey, like, you know, we're getting married in June. I can't wait for that date. Is there anything we need to do? And, you know, yada, yada, talked about it and said nice things and put the phone down, hung up, said goodbye. And then he got ready for work and off he went. And Arnaud is a French officer, police officer. And so he came to the police station where he worked, and they was working there for a little while, and they got a call, and they got a call that a supermarket was being attacked by some guy from ISIS, or at least he claimed to be. I don't know if you heard this story. This was just recently, like this weekend. And so him and his crew were the first to get there, and he actually was the first to get there. And so they're going back and forth with the fellow who has hostages inside, and they're saying, what do we do? What's going to happen? He goes, you know what, he'd served over in Iraq, this officer, for a while, so he had an idea of what to do. He was a good negotiator, so he said, you know what, I'm going to negotiate with this guy inside. And so back and forth they went, and he managed to negotiate that he would trade his life for a person that's inside, and actually her name was Julie. And there were a number of other individuals inside, hostages as well. He managed to get their release. He goes inside, and Julie's being held behind this fella because Julie's his shield. Nobody's going to get to this guy. If they do, they're going to have to kill Julie. Julie's a young woman. So he says, you know what? Me for her. You take me. I got power. I got position. Whatever you need, take me. So he walked in there, and they did. They swapped. And out Julie went. And out a number of the other hostages all went. So it was just him. Now, this fella had already killed three people and injured a number of other individuals as well. And it was interesting, when Arnaud went in there, he had his cell phone, and what he had done is he had put it on speakerphone, and he laid it down on the table so the police and everyone could hear what was going on inside. The fellow didn't know that. That the angry young man didn't know that. And so as he goes inside, they do the swap. Julie comes out. A number of the other individuals come out. You hear this commotion inside going back and forth, and then bang, bang, bang. And when they heard the shots, the rest of the force went in. The police went in. You know what they found? They found him, Arnaud, lying on the ground. He'd been shot 3 times. Now, as the police went in, they shot the attacker and killed him. Arnaud, he died that evening in hospital. What would you call him? What would you call Arnaud? What would he be? Would he be a hero? Would we think of him as a hero? What if you were Julie? You know the president of his name is last name is Macron. He said Lieutenant Colonel Arnaud fell as a hero. France will never forget his heroism, his bravery and his sacrifice. His mother, this is Arnaud's mother, when they interviewed her, said he knew this was just his job. His job was always to defend other people. Arnaud was declared a national hero. You know what's sad? Is in a couple of weeks, most of us will forget who that is. You know who won't forget? Yeah. Why won't Julie forget? Because he saved her life. And it cost him his life. Julie will never forget when that time, and sadly, partly for some of it, what had happened and all those experiences and all those thoughts when she left, when he came in. Jesus, the hero of my story, went in for me and took my place in 1978. Yeah, I know that's old for some of you. When I was 5. That's when I asked Jesus to come take in and take me over and trade places with me. When was your time? When did Jesus give you life instead of death? Is Jesus your hero? He gave me an eternity of heaven instead of an eternity, a deserved eternity of hell when I die. Hell is a place devoid of God, devoid of anything good. It's the never-ending snafu of the worst things we could ever imagine. And God took it in the person of Jesus Christ and just said, switch with me. Is Jesus your hero? If he's not, today you can make that happen. You just have to ask him. I just take my place, God. I'm sorry for what I've done. Take my place. Switch with me. Maybe we've forgotten. Have you forgotten that Jesus is our story? If you had, like come back and say, oh, you know what, Jesus, I'm sorry. He's waiting for us. Maybe we've remembered that Jesus is our hero all along. You know what? It's time to live like it then. Step out in it. Finish what he started with us. It's time to live like it. Let Jesus Christ let us empower us to serve others. So, and as we serve others, don't worry about what they do or don't do. Serve them. Jesus will take care of us, right? He's got all authority, right? That's what we learned today. And live in the truth. Let Jesus be the hero of your story. Let's pray. Father, you're great, you're good, you're awesome. Jesus, you're the hero of our story. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to us. Thank you for dying for us, Jesus. Thank you for living on our behalf, Jesus. Thank you for reminding us that it is actually all about you. Lord, you know what? Sometimes we just don't have enough words. We just don't.
Please let yourself be known in our heart. Describe it in ways that we can understand. May those around us who don't know the story of Jesus, may they hear the story of Jesus. Lord, thank you. Thank you for saying no to all the other methods around so you could go to the cross and so we could switch places. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen.